Once forged in the fires of PR and journalism, Curtis Dewar and Corey Westbrook united to create C-Squared. Now, on our podcast, we interview musicians and other industry professionals to give you an inside look on how to take your music to the next level.
And three.
Hello, you are listening to the C-Square podcast with Aaliyah, Curtis, and me, Holly. And today we are going to be talking about things to prepare for, perhaps for a campaign, and also mistakes to try and avoid when you are doing a campaign for your release or whatever it is you're promoting. So we have a little list of things to get through today. I would like to quickly preface and just sort of say this is not calling people out. This is not having a go at anyone. Curtis is looking annoyed. It's just sometimes I think bands and artists maybe don't realize the expectations from them as well as the work that PRs are doing. So it's just kind of like to make sure everybody knows what's going on.
Cool. So Aaliyah, since you are the master of ceremonies, why don't we get us on topic?
Yes, there, yes, thank you.
Miss Day.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So yeah, I think we've all seen bands, you know, maybe they've responded negatively, like maybe they complain and think they had a bad PR campaign with somebody. And, you know, we ask them, like sometimes people come to us and they say they've had bad campaigns with other PRs. And, you know, we kind of get the details of the situation. And sometimes it sounds like they may have had the wrong expectations going into it. So we can go over some of that today and things not to do, sort of. So what do you think about as far as emails that people send? What are some of the most common mistakes that people make? Because obviously email communication is going to be the bulk of a PR campaign, is it not?
It is. Now, just to clarify, you're talking about when the band reaches out to the PR or if a band is reaching out to a journalist, just to clarify.
I think that both would be relevant. So let's talk about both.
I'll start, if that's okay, Holly, with the what they should be sending to the PR, if that's okay. And then if you want to handle the other one. Okay, cool. So you need to have, number one, you need to have the music, number one. We have had bands send us, you know, premixes or, you know, unfinished tracks. And I mean, that's okay. But if we don't have the final product, we're almost never going to be 100% sure. That's not always the case. For example, I'm not calling anyone out. I'm using them as an example. Arriver, a former client of mine, when I had just had Dewar PR, I've worked with them twice. They emailed us, I think it was 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. They said, hey, you want to do a campaign? I said, send me the tracks. They had unmastered tracks. We went with it because we knew the quality of their past music and we just needed to hear what they had right then. But as a general rule, if you send us unfinished mixes and they're not mastered, we don't really know if it's going to work out unless you're a band that's already been around or you're using like a big name to help you with it. So that's a common mistake right there. And just not even prior to that, not sending any tracks at all and just asking for a price is a really common mistake. Reason why that's a mistake is because I'll give them the price, but I always tell them up front, I'm like, I don't know if we can take you or not because I don't know anything about you. You know, I have no clue. So that's the first common mistake right there, is not even sending any materials over, period. And
so what should people have? Can you give us like a quick list of what people should have ready?
This probably isn't complete because I'm going totally off the top of my head, but you should have the tracks or track that you want to actually promote and should be in a finished state. Again, unless you've worked with the person before and you kind of have some familiarity with them, it's not that big of a deal, but on as a general rule, finished tracks. Number two, you should make it so that way they're accessible, because a lot of times people will send a Google Drive link where only one person can access it. For us, anything we do, Corey and I both must pass on. So if it comes to me or it comes to her and only one of us can log in, it's a pain in the ass because I have to download, re-upload and all the rest of it. Next thing that you should include is you should also include a band picture. You should include the release date, what formats you're releasing on, and also if it's on a label. And did I say release date? Because that's also very important. You definitely need all those things. And I think that's the main stuff off the top of my head.
What about photos?
I thought I said photos. Yes, photos. If you have photos, that's good. If you don't have photos, it's not a big deal right off the bat. But I will admit my own mistake I have made is accepting bands and then finding out later they have a low quality photo or no photo. So the songs will be good and then the image is crap. And you're kind of in a position where it's like, fucking image sucks, but the songs are good. And you make do with it, but it really harms the campaign and it can really shoot you in the foot.
Why do you think, Holly, why do you think that, I want to bring you into this topic a little bit. Why do you think that having poor images harms the campaign so much?
There's a few reasons. One of the main reasons is that ultimately we are asking journalists and media outlets to share your news. And if it's a poor quality photo, we are asking them to put a poor quality photo on their website or in their magazine. And it kind of reflects badly on everybody involved because, you know, readers are going to look at it and think, that photo looks a bit rubbish. Why did they use that? So it just benefits everyone. The unfortunate reality is some webzines and sites will not put a band on the front page of their website purely because of the photo not being good enough. They will hide it somewhere in the back pages, and that costs you so much potential, like, viewership online. So it's really super important. And you know, it's like we're human, we are very visual creatures, and everybody kind of judges everybody off what we look like, even though we shouldn't do, but we do. So it's kind of
we've had bands lose coverage in like Metal Hammer because of having low quality photos. I remember I had a band, they were actually offered an interview in Metal Hammer back in, this is like 2014 2015, and I was like, cool. And I said, get me the questions. And they said, before we get this going, send me a picture. And I was like, okay, sent the picture. And they were like, I don't like this picture. So I went back to the band. I said, give me another picture. Next picture, not very good picture. So this went back and forth. And the band basically said, you know what, we can't get you a picture. So they lost a full interview in Metal Hammer, one of the biggest metal magazines, probably the biggest metal magazine in the world, because they had a poor quality picture. And obviously they were upset with me, but it wasn't my fault. I got it, but it was like they shot themselves in the foot. So there's an example.
Right on. Like, that's a good good summary of why it's important, because I think a lot of bands think, you know, well, I put all my effort into the music and the music is what matters. And so why does it matter if I have a good image? Like, that seems kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Trivial, seems kind of superficial. But sometimes, you know, the saying is you can't judge a book by its cover, because the default is that we do judge books by their covers. So
we do. And it's kind of like what you and I were talking about sort of yesterday, which is kind of like, you know, people look like just judging someone just by their looks or whatever. And it's like, you know, you don't really get a second chance. Like, if someone comes along and they see something poor quality from someone, they're going to probably in their own mind always associate that person with poor quality. Yes, the way it is.
Well, quality in everything you do. Speaking of everything that you do, let's move on to the next topic, which was going to be Holly. What do bands need to expect when it comes to communicating with journalists during the key PR campaign?
Yeah, so obviously with a PR campaign, it will usually be the communication is like mediated by the PR company. But obviously, if the people are reaching out to journalists themselves, then they might have that. I would say people need to be prepared to respond as quickly as possible, and obviously be as polite as possible and do everything that is asked of them if they can. Because, I mean, journalists and media are held up by really tight deadlines, for one thing. And so it might be a case of they have a slot to do an interview, but if you don't get back to them in like 24, 48 hours, it's gone. Somebody else has got it and you've missed out. So this is why one thing I think we sometimes notice a little bit is when bands have their own email address, which obviously I would recommend that a band has their own email address, either there is a case of It's not being checked very often by the members, or one member might see it and not do anything about it, but then not tell everyone else. And so things get lost and things get buried. And it's like, you know, try and allocate one person or maybe two people to the email address. And if something needs to be done, try and do it as soon as you can, because it does hold things up for everyone, unfortunately.
Holly is good at this, I want to point out, with her band communication.
I try.
I know how
frustrating it is from the other side. So
you do great. Yeah. I don't want to add anything. I'm not gonna add anything.
Okay.
I was gonna, and I'm not gonna.
So Holly, what about the workload expectations? I mean, bands, when they're promoting their album, they have a lot of tasks they need to complete during the PR campaign, right? Can you go over some of those?
Yeah, so there will be things like, I mean, each campaign will always vary slightly differently from band to artist, but sort of generally speaking, there is an expectation that you will need to provide materials, obviously, usually at the beginning of the campaign, but places might ask for extra photos or extra artwork as you're going through. Things like doing interviews, so obviously written interviews, they just email them over to you, but you will need to get them done as quickly as possible. And then there's video interviews and things which require sort of coordinating time zones quite a lot of the time and scheduling things like that. So it's sort of being prepared that you don't just hire a PR campaign to do everything and you sit back and do nothing. There will always be communication between you and the PR team, and tasks will need doing, and sometimes the PR team might have questions if they're not sure about something. So it's important to make sure that you're sort of actively involved in the campaign as well as the people that you're hiring.
One thing I want to add, though, too, this is kind of on the topic, but it's slightly off the topic. I would also like to add, if you're in a band, do not send an email and then follow up by DM asking if we got something, one of the steps that Holly's talking about, unless it's been like 24, 48 hours, or it's not a weekend or something like that, because that happens quite a bit. And you're like, you just sent it 2 minutes ago. I haven't had a chance to look at it, but thank you. Urgency? Sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that sometimes bands might get the idea that, well, here's a good question. Roughly how many campaigns are you working on at one time? On average, I should say.
Ooh, it depends. Like, I think right now we have something like 25, but we've gone as high as 50. I mean, we've got a fair number of people working here. I mean, it's me, Holly, Corey, and Effie are actively working campaigns. And when you and Gaia were doing them, I mean, it was even higher at one point. Usually I think like a maximum per person that can be done at one time is about 20-25. So like we have room, like if we wanted to, we could do more. But yeah, I mean, it depends. Like 2020, like I've by myself at one time worked 35, and it was tough. It was really tough, but yeah, it can be done.
My point being that I think that C Squared is definitely one of the best PRs when it comes to giving individual attention to artists, but you do need to give us a little bit of time because we just have simply so much to work on. And if you're working with any PR, this is going to be the case. So just something to keep in mind. Like we said, mistakes, we're talking about mistakes people make, and one mistake can be expecting responses within 5 minutes, you know.
And again, it's like I'm all for quick response, and I'm usually pretty quick to respond, as both Holly and Aaliyah know, just even personally. But
yeah, it's very true.
At the same token, if I'm out doing something and I'm in the middle of a task, I prioritize what I'm doing first before answering the communication. I know these guys both do the same thing. It's not that we're ignoring you; it's that we're in the middle of something right now. And you are placed in the priority. It's like a call center where you're placed in the priority list. And if I see the notification pop up and it looks like it's urgent, I'll stop what I'm doing, answer that. But as a general rule, most things can wait like an hour or two, worst case scenario, right? So that's my 2 cents.
One thing I would like to add as well, this might not be applicable to every PR company, but especially with us, time zone is a thing, just because I am in the UK. if you are 8 hours behind me and you message me, oh, goodness knows whatever time it is in the morning, yep. I'm not ignoring you. I will get back to you when I am awake. So maybe ask who you're working with. Oh, by the way, which time zone are you in? So then if I don't hear anything for 8 hours, I'll know it's because you're sleeping and you're not ignoring me.
This is Holly calling me out because I forgot what time it was yesterday, and I think I messaged her at 7 p.m. at night or something like that.
100%. That's something to keep in mind, even with like when you're setting up interviews and when you're talking to journalists, and like a lot of people are in different time zones. So especially when you're running an international campaign, like we do campaigns internationally through, we have contacts and journalists throughout the world, all over the world and in different time zones. So yeah, something to keep in mind again with email response times.
Yes.
But when it comes to a band's email response times.
Okay, so here's the thing, is 24 hours is usually sufficient. But again, there are always times where there things are urgent. For example, if you have a premiere going up that day and the embed doesn't work, I am going to break all my own rules of not DMing people and calling people. And I'm going to call you or DM you at work because the embed you sent me isn't working. And generally it's because I got you a major site and we're going to lose the coverage if we don't get it. You can be mad at me for that. I would probably be annoyed by it too. But if it's an extreme circumstance like that, I personally will break the rules and I will do that. Or like Holly said, we had a client recently where, they did the same thing with the embed too, I think, but they didn't answer an interview on time. We were going to lose the coverage. So I started DMing them and I was about ready to call them but they finally answered because they just weren't responding to email. So it was like, we tried, I don't know, like 4 or 5 times over a week span and nothing. So it depends, but as a general rule, 24 hours is usually sufficient. But keep in mind, if I end up DMing you or calling you, generally that means it's pretty damn urgent. But pet peeve, reversely, I'll get bands asking me routine questions on DM and I fucking don't like that. Just send me an email unless it's urgent. Don't message me at 11 o'clock at night asking me how the campaign's going because it's 11 o'clock at fucking night or on the weekend or something like that. If it's urgent, cool. Like urgent would be like Holly mentioned, tight deadline on an interview. You have a question about it. You need to get us an embed. One of the tracks is fucked up, you noticed. Something like that. An emergency is not, hey, how's the campaign going? Or, you know, can you maybe pitch Blabbermouth for me? That's not an emergency. Just send it by email. So did that answer the question, Leah, or did I start going into rant mode? Okay.
No, that was good. Well, cool. You did go into rant mode.
I did go into rant mode. Yeah. Okay.
Sometimes that's good. So what about sort of the adjacent tasks that need to be completed for bands? Like, I know that a band needs to post on social media when it comes to promoting their album. And while it's not a part of your PR campaign, well, it kind of is on your end. It's kind of one of your tasks as a band to make sure that you're sharing things. So when it comes to sharing things on social media, what kind of things should bands be sharing from their PR campaign?
Now, this is a tough question to answer because I have one viewpoint on it, but at the same time, I can see other viewpoints on it. Like, for example, I think it was Corey in an older podcast. She brought up a really good point, which is the fact, like, if you share too much, you go down in the algorithm. I mean, it's true. You do. So sharing like 10 links on your Facebook page again could be counterproductive. But at the same time, I also know that sites will sometimes get upset if you don't share the link. So I can look at it both ways. I do know if you post an Instagram story with the link, it's not going to affect your reach. At least this was as of fairly recently, it wasn't affecting reach. So it's kind of hard to really say on that because I think you should share every link you can. But at the same time, I do get it that it cuts down your reach. So I don't know what you could do.
That's a good point with stories. Like, your stories.
Yeah. Like, if you've got an Instagram, some bands don't still, believe it or not. For Facebook, I mean, there's stories on
Facebook. Facebook has stories too now.
Yeah. I've never used it. So I guess you could try that too. So yeah, it's kind of a tough thing. Twitter, you don't get throttled for overposting, so you can post as much as you want. So I tend to do that. Like lately with the C Squared page, I've been doing less of the links on Facebook, but I've been doing more on Twitter. I don't know if it's beneficial or not that way, but I mean, it's hard to answer, really. I'm really sorry. That's a tough one.
Got any insight, Holly?
I guess in a situation where you've got lots of links coming in and you want to share them all, then the thing to do is make use of scheduling tools and do it that way, because then you can schedule a load at once and it'll keep your social media going and you don't have to worry about forgetting to share something because you've already done it. One thing I will say is make sure you tag the media outlet, and if you have the name of the journalist and they have public social media profiles and don't mind being tagged, also tag the journalist. Don't just tag journalists if it's their private profile. That's not okay. But if it's public, it's fine. I'll do that.
What do you mean, like a private profile versus like you wouldn't want to tag someone's personal Facebook page, I would think?
Yeah, that's kind of what I mean, like personal Facebooks and things like that. Obviously, if they've got an open Instagram account and everything, then that should be absolutely fine.
Or if they have like a page, like a business page.
Yeah, like
journalism, maybe.
Yeah, something like that. I find if you look up people, you can tell pretty quickly if it's private and friends only versus open or public. So just have a quick search and you should be able to find out.
Like a good example is Dom Lawson on Instagram. He's it's his personal page, but he tags bands all the time and he shares stuff he's listening to all the time. I don't think he minds being tagged. He's never bitched at me about it, and he seems like, and he'll comment back. So he's a good example. And I'm not going to tell the other person because they're private and I don't want bands going to it. So,
well, there you go.
That's my 2 cents.
Are there any other topics, any other mistakes you think that bands make during their PR campaigns that we should bring up?
I have one, unless Holly wants to go first.
No, you go.
I got a couple, actually, and I know we're limited on time. I'm sorry, Aaliyah, but you're now bringing out the rant in me. Okay.
We got 5 minutes, so keep going.
Okay. Going too political on your personal and band page. We have a client who will remain nameless, or a former client that will be a client. He's gotten better recently, and he's now limited his posts to being friends only. But he used to have public posts. He's more conservative, put it that way. And he's very vocal. Okay, fine, whatever. I mean, you can have your own political opinions. I don't care one way or the other. I'm not an American, you know, so whatever. But he was very vocal, just put it that way. And some of his fans and journalists were not liking some of the things that he was being very vocal about. And he would get into fights with them on his personal page, which then hinders our PR campaign. So he's smartened up now, and they don't have an album coming out right now. And I'm not going to name who this person is. I will tell you guys off the call later if you want. And that's a very good example. And he's not the only person that's done that, because there's other people that have done that as well. So please, 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 for the love of God, if you want to argue politics, that's fine. While you're running a PR campaign, I would prefer you don't, unless you're political banned, just because of the fact, like, I don't care if you lean left or right or whatever, neutral, I don't care. But the second you start arguing with journalists and attacking them and stuff like that, and it just doesn't go anywhere. We're in the entertainment business, like it or lump it, and we have to be able to entertain people. I mean, it's okay. I'm not saying people shouldn't speak their mind. Just basically don't get into arguments and start fighting with people. All three of us have different political opinions, and we work together just fine, and we're all good. So if we can do it, everybody else can do it too. That's my first thing. Did you have anything to add on that, Aaliyah, before I go to the next one?
Just that, you know, the nature of, you know, they say at family gatherings, you don't talk about religion or politics. You try to avoid these things because these arguments, especially online, in public, it gets distasteful, it gets personal, and it's just not the place for those conversations. In my opinion, it's not that the place for those conversations ever. I feel like those conversations are like one-on-one in-person conversations.
I agree.
But especially during a PR campaign, you're just going to polarize and upset people and make them not want to listen to your music. Unless you're a political band and that's kind of your shtick. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, like, I mean, I've seen Holly get a teeny bit political on her stuff in the past. She doesn't do it as much anymore. But, I mean, she's respectful when she's done it, when I've noticed it. So there's a difference at the same time. Right. So arguing is the main point I want to do. Next point I wanted to bring up, too, was just rudeness in general or making off-color humor. I've seen bands do, both female and male, do sexist humor that came across and taken the wrong way by people. Again, if you're doing this privately and you know the person, that might be one thing. But doing a public sexist joke, either if you're a male or a female, probably isn't really a good move, even if you think it's like totally humorous. I would vote don't do something like that. Since Holly is the expert in this, I just want to get her opinion, her statement on this before moving on.
Well, I mean, it's pretty much the same as that. You know, don't post misogynistic or racist or any discriminative stuff in any way, shape or form is basically my opinion, because it's not going to help. It's going to make you look like an arsehole, to be honest.
Exactly.
And you, like you say, it's the entertainment industry. Everyone, you know, the way the internet is, everybody can see things and go back and find things, and it will unfortunately tarnish stuff that you want to do. So just bear in mind, you know, and it's kind of like, yes, there are, you can be a political band and have a certain stance. If that's your thing, that's fine. You can deliver political and, you know, protest messages in your music, fine, but you do it in a way that is not gonna hurt people, right?
Exactly.
You can be expressive and creative and not purposefully hurt people, because that's just not nice.
I agree.
And this thing, I don't want to work with someone who's posting this stuff.
Agreed.
So,
I agree.
Yeah.
And I got one last thing, Aaliyah, and right. Holly and you will probably appreciate this, but
let it be the cherry on top.
Yes, this is going to be the cherry on top. So other thing is, don't be, what's the right word, improperly flattering to journalists or to the people you work with for PR. I'm going to give an example here. We have had potential customers make inappropriate comments about the workers here, not me, but make inappropriate comments.
Sorry you're being left out, Curtis.
I'm being left out, whatever. It is all female except for me, surprisingly. I don't know how the fuck this happened, but anyways, I've seen it where, you know, there's been inappropriate comments on any of your guys's Instagram or DMs or something like that. It's pretty rare. It is, I want to preface this and say this is extremely rare. It barely ever happens, but I've seen it, and we don't want to work with that person in the future as a result. I've also seen it where it's been like people have undermined their publicist and come to me because they're like, well, they work for you type of thing. But it's like, okay, that's your publicist. That's the person you talk to. That's your in charge. So if someone comes to me on Holly's campaign, what I do is I say, what do I say, Holly? 99.9% of the time.
Well, you just send them back to me.
I do.
You do.
I do. And I do the same thing with Corey. I will help if need be. And I know you guys aren't there at the time or something like that. Or if it's urgent, I am happy to help. But if someone comes to me on their campaign and I know, you know, and I'm not saying it's always because they're a female or anything like that, but it's an undermining of that person regardless. And I would hope Holly would do the same for me if they were coming to her on my campaign and be like, you should be going to Curtis, like say it in a nice way, obviously, because I think it undermines people. So don't undermine people. Don't make sexist comments type of thing is the main point on that. That's my final cherry on top.
And that's about all we have time for today. So everyone listening, I hope you heard something helpful today. And until next time, make like a bull and throw those horns up.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please help spread the word by leaving us a 5-star review on your platform of choice. You can also join the conversation by following us on any social media and suggesting guests or topics you'd like to learn more about. Thanks for listening to C Squared.